Welcome, everybody, here as we start a brand new series in the book of Proverbs. But before we jump into the message, I want to talk a little bit about the past week. This last Friday, we had 58 people, 29 couples, here in this room celebrating a date night. We had great food, I think. Was it good food, those of you who were here? Yeah. We had some good live entertainment. It was a lot of fun. And so I was excited that we had that many people. We actually had, I think, 62, and unfortunately, a couple couples had to back out last minute. Yesterday afternoon, I understand we had several children and parents here for a Valentine's party. I hope that was a great time. I was not here. I was coaching some basketball. And then this Tuesday, we're starting a Bible study. So a lot going on. A lot has been going on. Last weekend, I was out of town, and I want to share a little bit about that. I'm glad that Dr. Derek Voorhees could come and share a message with you about grace. I hope it was encouraging and enlightening to you in the book of Ephesians. But I went back to my hometown to say thank you. And that's the best I can summarize it. I'll tell you a little bit more, though. I was born and raised in Coffeyville, Kansas. I've talked about that a lot. Probably you're like, yeah, we know. But Coffeyville is way out in the far southeast corner of Kansas. You're like, where is Coffeyville? Well, that's kind of where it's at, where that pinpoint is. And I grew up at Tyro Christian Church all my life. I was born and raised there, and I'm 37 today. I was there until I was about 18 before I went off to college. But the senior minister there, David Bycroft, was retiring after preaching there for 47 years. And so David and his wife Kathy are actually going to visit us this July. That's what he's going to be doing now. He's going to be visiting people who have grown up in the church and are in ministry and missionaries and encouraging them and their churches. And so I look forward to having him here July 16th this summer. I hope you'll make plans to be here as well. Here's the interesting thing to me. Anybody that goes somewhere and stays in ministry in the same place for 47 years has some pretty steadfast faithfulness. I'll just leave it at that for now. But I want to share a little bit about my area growing up. This won't take long. Don't check out. So Tyro, Kansas is in the middle of nowhere, Kansas. Coffeyville is my hometown, about 12 miles to the east, 10,000 people. Independence is about 20 miles to the north. It has about 9,000 people. And then Caney, Kansas, down here to the left, has about 2,000 people. Tyro, Kansas has 250 people. And Tyro Christian Church, on an average Sunday this morning, in both their services, they will have about 1,000 people together in that building. So this is Tyro, Kansas from Google Images. And it's the largest structure in town, the church. And then here's a zoomed-in picture as well. And David, you know, he went there when he was a Bible college student, just preaching on the weekends, and he stayed. A lot of people come and go from churches, and he stayed. So someone asked me this morning, well, you've been here about 5 years. You got about 42 to go. And I said, you know, I don't think any of us, I plan on being here a long time, by the way, but I don't think any of us, myself included, probably want me preaching here in 42 years. So we'll see, but I would be 79 at that point. And so he got a head start on me. But I fully intend on being here a long time. 5 years, it's been a great 5 years. By the way, Kent, that's why we do what we do. We want to help people find their way back to God. We want to help people make that decision for Jesus Christ, get baptized, and live their life for Him. And it's exciting that we can share in that this morning. So I think that's it. Yes, wise up. Series in Proverbs. If you have your Bible, please open up and locate the book of Proverbs. But while you're doing that, I want to kind of get us headed in the same direction. I want to share a true story with you about a man who could have used some wisdom, a man who could have used this series, in fact. So his name is Larry Walters, and you may know of Larry, but Larry had a lifelong dream to fly. So he joined the Air Force only to find out that he had poor eyesight and was never going to be a pilot. Well, several years ago, Larry was in his backyard in Southern California, and he began to look at his lawn chair, and he kind of wondered, I wonder if that lawn chair could fly. And so Larry and his girlfriend went down to the local military surplus store, and they bought 45 8-foot weather balloons. He forged some signatures to do that, and a whole lot of helium from a toy balloon shop, and he went back home. He got his chair, and he attached his chair, his lawn chair, to his Jeep, and then he began one by one to fill up the weather balloons and attach them to his chair. Once he got all that done, he went inside, he made some sandwiches, and he got his pellet gun. Larry came back outside, and he put on a parachute, and he sat in his chair. This is a picture of Larry in his chair. That's it. That's Larry in his chair. His idea was that he would just cut the cord and he would kind of lazily float up into the air, maybe 100 feet or so, and kind of float over his house, maybe float around his neighborhood for a little while. And then he would just shoot some of the weather balloons and kind of float back down to the ground. And so he cut the rope tethered to the Jeep. The only problem is Larry didn't just lazily float up into the air. He shot into the air, kind of like a rocket or something forced out of a cannon. And he passed 100 feet, 500 feet, 1,000 feet. He went past 5,000 feet, 7,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet, and finally leveled off at over 15,000 feet. This is a true story. Now, at this point, Larry's too afraid to shoot any of the weather balloons because as you can imagine, he's fearful that he might, you know, disrupt things and he might fall out of his chair and come crashing down to the ground. So, 2 hours go by, 4 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours, Larry floats around in his lawn chair. Now, can you imagine what's going on the ground at this point? Where's Larry? I don't know. His lawn chair's gone too. It's kind of strange. But where's Larry? Well, over time, finally, Larry, he drifted into the approach corridor of Los Angeles International Airport, and a Delta Airlines pilot reported to the radio tower that they passed some guy in a lawn chair at 15,000 feet. Finally, Larry has the courage to shoot some of the weather balloons, and he begins to come back down to the ground, at which point he is arrested by the Los Angeles Police Department. There's a news reporter there on the scene, and they yelled out to Larry, "Larry, why'd you do it?" And his answer is classic. I love it. This is what he said. "Hey, a man can't just sit around." We can agree on that, can't we, guys? I mean, men in the room. If we don't have something to do to occupy our time, we can get in a lot of trouble. A man can't just sit around. We need to be busy. We need to be productive. Now, how many of you know that's not wise? That happened in 1982, by the way. Not wise. I mean, you just should not do that. There have been some copycats since then, by the way. And please don't, you know, don't take that and fly with it. But we all have a little bit of Larry in us, don't we? I mean, all of us at some point or another have done some dumb things. Made some really poor decisions, some things that are just not wise. And so I'm excited about this series. I think it's going to be good for us. Hopefully it'll be fun and instructive. But again, locate the book of Proverbs right after Psalms because that's what we're going to be studying. And here's what I want to say. If this is your first time in church, or if maybe it's your first time back to church in a little while, if you're just kind of checking church out and you think, well, you know, church is kind of old sometimes. We try and make church fun. I'm having a blast, by the way, doing what I get to do. We try and have fun in this place together as we worship the Lord and come together. Sometimes we think the Bible is a little bit old and a little outdated. I have to tell you, the book of Proverbs is not outdated or irrelevant. It is more in tune with our culture today, because think of it this way. The verses are short. They're bite-sized. The verses in Proverbs are kind of like tweets for your soul. And so here's a few of my favorite verses from Proverbs, if you're continuing to locate the book. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." I got to tell you, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, jealousy and envy, that can ruin your life. Next, Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. "A nagging spouse is like the drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You can't turn it off and you can't get away from it." Now, that's from the Message version. The NIV is slanted towards one particular gender, and I'll let you figure that out. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." Verse in James that talks about that as well. We get a little talkative sometimes and end up overstepping some lines. Proverbs chapter 11, 22, "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion." Next, Proverbs 13, 24. "A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them." How many of you know that to be true? A lot of times we think, well, you know, my kids will figure it out. I'll just love them. They'll be okay. Friends, we have to put boundaries around our kids. We have to put guardrails and protect them from situations and from things that they can get in trouble with. The Proverbs would say, if you don't love them, if you don't discipline them, it's like you don't care about them. We must discipline and correct. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better to be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When God approves of your life, even your enemies will end up shaking your hand. I want my life to be that way. In such a way that God blesses it, that God honors it, in such a way that even enemies will want to shake my hand. That's the kind of life I want to lead. Now, when you read through the book of Proverbs, if you've not done so before, it does not take long to kind of see a pattern, a reoccurring theme. And I want us to discover that theme today. If you found the book of Proverbs, let's start in chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 6. These first few verses tell us exactly why Proverbs is written and who it's written to. So, first few verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, for the sayings and riddles of the wise. Now, let's continue on to in chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. If you take notes in your Bible, I encourage you to underline wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. 5 times in Proverbs chapter 2, it talks about how you get wisdom. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Friends, over and over again, and over again, throughout the book of Proverbs, it says, whatever you do, get wisdom in your life. Whatever it may cost you, whatever it takes, get wisdom in your life. And the question that you might be wanting to ask is, why? Why is wisdom so important? Why do I need it so badly in my life? Why would I pay anything it costs to get wisdom? Well, here's why. Here's the answer. It's because many of the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis are not between choosing what's right and what's wrong. Many times that you're stuck between one good decision and another good decision. Does that make sense? I mean, every single day, we probably have 3 to 5 decisions to make, some more, some less, perhaps, that all of them are ethically and morally okay. All of them are acceptable decisions to make, perhaps, but which is the wise decision? So oftentimes, it's not between right and wrong, but which is the wise choice? And that's what I want in my life. So let's consider some four instances, if you will. Here's a question you might consider. Should you spend the evening surfing Facebook, watching TV, reading a book, or playing a game with your family? Well, are any of those things wrong in and of themselves? Probably not. You're not going to go to hell for doing any of those things. But one or two of those is very clearly the wise decision over the others. What about this one? Should you put your child in kindergarten this year or wait until next year? That's something a lot of parents struggle with. Should we kind of get them in early, or when should we start? We don't know which is the right one. Well, either one could be right, but which is the wise choice for your family? How about this one? Should you stay home for spring break and invite people to your house, or go on a simple vacation with just your family to Moab? Either one, but which is the wiser one? Should you go on a mission trip or to marriage conference? I can tell you the wise one, whichever your wife says is the wise one. There's wisdom in listening to your wife. I'm sure that's in there as well. Should you buy a house or rent a house? I don't know. Different seasons of life, one is perhaps wiser than the other. Here's what's so amazing about wisdom. You have to catch this. Wisdom goes beyond what is right and what is wrong. It goes beyond what is a good choice. Wisdom illuminates the best choice based on the complex realities of your life. And so that's why Proverbs says, whatever you do, Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, get wisdom. You have to have wisdom in your life. And the book of Proverbs gives at least two key places where we can find wisdom, where we can locate and gain wisdom. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, wisdom is available in the Bible. And you might be thinking, I got up for this? That's duh. I'm in church. I must see some significance in the Bible, in reading the Bible. I must, you know, yes, we know that, wisdom is gained in the Bible. But I have to tell you, not everyone who reads the Bible is wise. In fact, I personally know many people who are very foolish, who pride themselves in reading the Bible. A fool can read the Bible. The difference between a wise person and a foolish person is obeying the Bible and applying the Bible, the truths, to your life. That's the difference. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7. Words from Jesus regarding some wisdom. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Wisdom is available in the Bible. It's true, but here's what you have to know. You have to actually obey it. You have to use it. You have to build your life on it in order to benefit from the wisdom found there. It's not just enough to have a Bible laying around on the coffee table at home or on the bookshelf or on your dashboard of your car if you don't get it out and read it and apply it to your life. It's not just enough to have the smart app on your phone or your whatever, your tablet, and know that it's there. You have to read it. You have to apply it to your life. I want to see if I can illustrate this. I'm kind of embarrassed about what I'm going to share to you, especially you men in the room, okay? I always read the instructions. I do. I think it was indoctrinated into me from a very young age. When I would be sick at home from school, I would lay out a big sheet on the floor, or mom would, and I would dump out all my Legos, and I would begin to build the Legos, but I would do them by the book. I'd get the instructions out, and I would put them together piece by piece, following all the instructions. I know that that's not traditionally very manly to always follow the instructions, but we bought a barbecue grill a couple years ago. What did I do? Looked for the instructions right off the bat and put the grill together. This last week, I bought three table racks for the church for some tables we have out in the gym. And Chris put the first one together, and then I came and I very briefly helped him put the second one together. But I was encouraged to know I'm not the only one. Chris, too, was following the instructions. How many of you try to do a lot of things without following the instructions? Come on now. Anybody? All right. And how many of you, if you're honest with yourselves, get partway through the project and then have to pause and find the instructions and maybe take a few things loose and put it back together? Come on. Let's be honest, right? Here's the thing. At some point in the process, we realize the complexity of the project at hand and realize the importance and significance of the instructions. Now, I want to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart. Friends, this is the best instruction booklet for your life. God's Word is the best instruction booklet for your life. In fact, somebody handed me a note after first service, and I've heard this many times, you know, Bible, take that, and basic instructions before leaving earth. I think this is the best instruction booklet for your life. Now, I'll tell you, you can do life on your own. A lot of people do all the time. You can go to college and do it on your own. You can build your career on your own. You can do family on your own. You can do marriage on your own. You can do parenting on your own. You can manage your finances on your own. People do it all the time. But let me make a prediction. If you try to go it on your own, if you choose to do that, here's what happens a lot of time. We underestimate the complexity of the situation at hand and the reality that of the life that we live. And a lot of times we will wake up one day and we'll find our lives, our marriage, our children, our finances, laying around us in pieces. And we don't have any idea of how to rebuild it and get it back together again. So what do we need? We need wisdom on marriage. It's in the book. We need wisdom on parenting. It's in there. We need wisdom on how to be good stewards of our finances. It's in there. We need wisdom on how to operate a business or how to carry ourselves in the workplace. It's in there. We need wisdom on relationships. Friends, it's in there. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that maybe as I've just talked this morning, there's some situation in your life has come to mind and you're thinking, man, I could just use some wisdom in that situation right now. And perhaps God is whispering to you even right now, you know, it's in there. Trust me, it's in there. You can figure it out if you would just use this book. And it's in your language, for crying out loud. I mean, a lot of people around this world don't have God's word in their language. And we do. And it's not just, you know, I've got this one. It's, a thin line Bible. You can get one with large print, small print. You can get one in probably 30 different versions in the English language. You can get it with a black cover, a blue cover, purple, pink. It doesn't matter. Just use the book. Read it and apply it to your life. So the first idea is this: wisdom is available in the Bible, but you have to read it. You have to apply it to your life. Here's the second thing Proverbs says about finding wisdom. Wisdom is experienced in community. The book of Proverbs communicates over and over and over again that the isolationist, the individualist, is a fool. Anybody who thinks that they can just do life on their own is foolish. Anybody who thinks that they don't need to ask for advice or ask for help, that person is a fool. A wise person, on the other hand, seeks out advice and seeks out community. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. I think that's true. A wise person seeks out friends, seeks out advisors, and then actually listens to them. I think there are many people in our world today who have kind of fooled themselves into thinking that they're a wise person because they ask for advice all the time. They'll seek advice from friends. They'll seek advice on Facebook. They'll seek advice from family. They'll seek advice over the phone or through email or from TV or books or magazines or at the gym or on the golf course. But here's the problem. So many people will continue to seek advice until they find the advice they're seeking. You know what I mean by that. Here's the truth. Wisdom is the ability to seek and surrender to advice, even when it's not the advice you're seeking. I mean, let me say this just kind of off to the side here for a moment, as boldly and or as lovingly as I can. Many of you, I'd even say most of you, have good people in your life, have good family around you, or good friends around you. Now, that's not the case with everyone. I get that. But most of you have good people around you in your life. And you will ask them for advice from time to time. And they'll even give you great advice. And then you just don't listen. And I don't understand why that is, but it happens over and over and over again. We'll ask for advice, but just not take the advice and try and do it our own way. And Proverbs says, you know what? You're foolish. Because wise people ask for advice and they listen to advice. Here's another place in Proverbs that talks about wisdom being experienced in community. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Think about this for just a moment. How many of you enjoy going on a walk? Anybody? Or how many of you have gone on a walk with somebody? With somebody. Maybe not that somebody, but somebody. Or it was that somebody. But you enjoy going on a walk. And at some point or another, you're talking together. You're probably talking about your day or your week. Or maybe if it is that somebody, your spouse or your significant other, you're talking about your hopes and your dreams and what you want to see happen in your life or your relationship. Usually it's even somebody that you trust. Here's the point. When somebody invites you to go with them on a walk, they're usually inviting you into community with them, into doing life with them. Or at least that moment, the book of Proverbs indicates who you and I choose to talk with and who you and I choose to, more importantly, walk with dramatically affects the level of our wisdom. I mean, think back to high school biology. Some of you, you're there right now. A few of you, perhaps. But most of you, that was a couple years ago or maybe many years ago. At some point or another in high school biology, you probably learned about these things called permeable membranes. These microscopically thin walls that allow particles to pass back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The book of Proverbs says our lives are kind of like that. As we do life with someone, the values, convictions, ideas, morals, even the language of the people that we choose to hang around with will eventually find its way into our life, whether we want it or whether we like it or not. And let me just say this. Some of you don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. You are deeply affected by the people that you choose to walk with. It's been said before, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me the people that you hang around with, and I can give you a pretty good idea of what your life will look like, what your future will look like. Pastor Bill Hybels at Willow Creek Church in Chicago says this, when you walk with wise people, almost by osmosis, their wisdom will seep into your life. I think that's true. Their sober judgment will help improve your judgment. Their values will help raise the bar on your values. Their convictions will begin to crystallize your convictions. When you walk with wise people, their wisdom seeps into your life. Here's the problem. The opposite is also true. When you spend time with fools, it works the same way. Your friend's foolishness will begin to seep into your life. Their lack of sober judgment will begin to pollute your judgment. Their faulty moral compass will take you in a direction you don't want to go. Again, 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Here's what we got to see in that verse. Both wisdom and foolishness are experienced in community. Both are experienced in community. The kind of person you become is largely related to the type of people that you hang out with, that you spend time with. Think back across the history of your life, the broad landscape of your life, and think for just a moment on some of your favored memories, some of your victories, some of your moments of celebration, the high times of life, when you're really proud of how things were going. I'm willing to guess there were probably some good people around you when those things happened. Some good people in your life when you experienced that. Now think about the other side of things. Think back to some times of regret. Maybe it was a weekend or a season of your life when you were just making some poor decisions. Again, I'm willing to guess you were also hanging around with people who were not the wisest of people. They were foolish people. And polluting your judgment. Friends, when you walk with the wise, you grow wise. When you become a companion of fools, you grow foolish. Who you and I become is largely related to those we choose to do life with. That's what Proverbs says. So let me kind of pull this together. I've talked about two kind of principles here of where we can find wisdom this morning. First of all, that wisdom is available in the Bible. Secondly, wisdom is experienced in community. Here's what I want to do. I want to kind of combine those together for our challenge this week, for our takeaway this week. And so here's the takeaway. Let's read the Bible together. That's simple. Let's read the Bible because that's where we get wisdom from the Bible. Let's do so together. I mean, again, we don't just want our Bible lying around. Let's read it. Let's get into it and read it. And then let's experience together. That's the community part. So here's the challenge. There are 31, I've talked about this before, but 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's roughly 31 days in the month, roughly. 31 month, 31 the next, right? So every day over the next couple months, here's what I want to ask you. Read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds with that date on the calendar. So Tuesday, Valentine's Day, Proverbs chapter, February 14th, read Proverbs chapter 14 that day. March 3rd, read Proverbs chapter 3 that day. If you forget, or you're busy, or you're traveling, or whatever it may be, you don't have to worry about, you know, your plan of reading or something, or forgetting it. Just look at the date and read that chapter of Proverbs. The second thing that I want to ask of you is really targeted at those who are on social media. And if you're not on social media, don't get on social media, okay? Just don't. God bless you. And I am jealous of you. Well, you could always get offset. Yeah, I know. You can always turn. Yeah, write it. But here's the thing. I learned so much about you on social media. And maybe you learn about me too. Here's the thing. I want to use a couple hashtags. My son said this is not a thing. Hashtag, okay? Some of you can roll your eyes. That's fine. But I want to use these two hashtags over the next couple months for those of you who are on social media. Wise Up and NECCGJ. And if you're involved in social media, I want to challenge you, maybe as you learn something or you read a verse in Proverbs, to share that on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever that may be. And we can track one another as we do so and maybe encourage one another or comment on that. I think it'll be a fun experiment. I don't think we've ever done that before. We're kind of behind the times, but that's okay. I'm going to drop it there. So read the chapter in Proverbs that corresponds with the day. And if you're on social media, find something to share and we can learn together, we can read together. Let's read the Bible together these next few months. Let's pray.